But right now, we've got to get to Celebrity Meltdowns of 2009. Patrick Wanis is joining us on the phone. Hello, regular broad, Dr. Patrick Wanis.
Well, good afternoon to you and to all the wonderful, ecstatic...
Did you like that?
Well, it's funny because you're all singing Aussie AC/DC songs. I'm not sure.
I know. How have you been? We haven't talked to you in a while.
I've been very well. Just got back from Australia. In fact, I did a month there to my youngest brother's wedding and, you know, decided to spend some time playing.
Oh, that's terrific. Well, you know, everyone can go to broadmindedonline.com because Patrick Wanis is on our website. He's a regular broad. He's been on the show for almost as long as we've had the show. And we're going to talk about Celebrity Breakdowns of 2009. So, Patrick, why don't you start off with the list?
Yeah, this is my third annual list. It's something that I put together that basically identifies the top 10 celebrity meltdowns of each year. But it's not just sort of throwing out the names. I like to give you some insights.
Yes.
And some psychological and emotional motivations behind some of the wild and sometimes stupid and delusional behavior that celebrities engage in. I wanted to start off first with politicians.
And I
thought you'd like that one. And I could obviously put more than just three in number 10. But number 10, I grouped sort of the liars, the cheaters, the slanderers, starting off with, of course, Governor Sanford, who is being divorced, although he escaped impeachment. You know, he cheats on his wife. He escapes to Argentina, pretending it's a business trip. Then the part that really stands out the most.
Oh, the camping.
Well, no, not that. But when he says, my mistress is my soulmate, and he says this to the whole world.
It's unbelievable. But by the way, your wife, your poor wife.
Yeah.
Let's not worry about her.
And I'm thinking, okay, I can understand if you want to tell people, look, I'm not just doing this for sex. But, you know, to say to the entire world, hey, this is my soulmate, is really quite humiliating and a real slap to his wife.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, regardless of what your behavior is and whether he's in love with her and has a romantic, deep, soulful connection, that's not for me to judge, but I would say he could have been much more respectful and considerate in the way he responded after the fact.
Well, what does that say about his personality type to do something like that, besides the fact that it's completely rude and humiliating to the wife? What else can we throw in the pot?
Well, I think the first thing to say is that he's obviously very selfish, and I think that he was completely consumed by the passion, and I think he might have also been seeking a way to justify what he did by saying, look, it's not just sex, it's love, it's soulmate connection. I think part of that is, you know, really just selfishness. You know, even if she was your soulmate, that's a discussion you want to have with your wife in private. It's not something you want to tell the world when you say, you know what, I married this woman, I betrayed her. And in fact, not only is she the mother of my children, but she's not even my soulmate.
Right.
So
oh,
I think
God, you're right. It's just humiliating. All right, let's go on to number 9.
All right. Well, the next one that I came up with was Adam Jasinski. You probably don't know who he is because he's not a house, or do you?
It sounds familiar. Give us the backstory and it might come back.
Adam Jasinski won Big Brother 9.
Okay, I don't know who that is.
All right, now, and here's the interesting part. He gets a prize of $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you do with $500,000?
I don't make some investments, put it in the bank, pay off debt.
That's exactly what he did. He decided to reinvest. But in what did he reinvest?
Oh, no.
He went and bought 2,000 oxycodone pills, obviously illegally, and started reselling them.
No,
he
didn't. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
He admitted this to the police.
So the vetting process for reality shows, I mean, we know now that the people that do these types of shows, they're not exactly stable. Not all of them.
Here's the interesting, probably the most interesting insight about reality shows. Because we often say, well, are they acting? Are they putting it on for the camera? It's not real. Yes, it is manufactured situations. Yes, it is manufactured reality. But these are the real personalities. What happens is that almost every contestant participant in a reality show is vetted by a psychologist and psychiatrist, sometimes by two or three of them, to determine their personality, their standard intelligence, and their emotional intelligence. From there, the psychologists give a report to the producers saying, look, you've given us these 50, we think these are the best ones because we can predict exactly how they'll act in this situation and that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Then they try to create the situations. So automatically they're looking for people who have really big personalities, who are highly dysfunctional, in some situations like Omarosa, who really, who never internalize what's said to them. They don't care. They just sort of separate themselves from it. But I don't know how great this vetting process is for two reasons. One, did people know what Adam Jasinski would do with his money? Did they know that he was that sort of person? I mean, during the actual show, he was fired as a PR manager for the United Autism Foundation because he made an offensive remark about autistic children.
Yeah, there you go. That's an upstanding guy.
And then the other thing is to mention Ryan Jenkins, who was a VH1 reality show participant.
Yeah.
In Megan Wants a Millionaire, and he's the guy that at first they said, we think that he killed his wife and then cut her body up into pieces. And then they're chasing him, and where do they find him? They find him in his home country, Canada.
Yeah.
He's already hanged himself.
So he's sad.
Yeah, and that is kind of what led this whole, you know, looking into who they're having on reality shows, because can't her parents sue? Family sue?
I don't know what the legal implications are, to be completely open, because there's numerous implications of even the fears of the other people who said, we were participants with this guy. We could have been in danger, regardless of the fact that he murdered the wife.
Right.
He murdered his wife, but I don't think his wife came from the show. The other interesting piece of trivia, this just blew me away. Do you know how they identified her body?
Yes, breast implants.
Right, through the serial number
on the breast implant.
I know.
Isn't that horrible that that's the only way they could identify her? I mean, it's amazing, but horrible.
And, you know, what an irony and what a sort of a blight on our society when...
I know. It's ironic.
This guy goes to all the trouble of ripping out her, you know, her teeth and whatever else he did
identity. I forgot about her prints and everything. It's just horrible.
Yeah, I mean, that's really sad. All right, but I'll move ahead to something a little lighter, although it's still connected to sex. In number eight, I put David Letterman. Now, David Letterman didn't have a meltdown per se, but he gets on TV and tells the entire world, look, I know you thought I was a goof, and I know you thought I was a nerd, but really I'm a bit of a sex machine, and I get all my women... And I get all my women from my staff. I don't even have to travel very far.
Yeah, is he a sex machine or just a guy that dated a couple of his interns and they happen to be younger?
I think he's just like everybody else
in
Hollywood.
Is he a sex machine because of that?
Well, I guess we have to be very clear about what is a sex machine, but I think he had more than one or two girls.
Definitely.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be such a story.
Yeah.
The other thing about David in this situation is that Letterman was really smart. He was so smart that he beat the alleged extortioner.
He got ahead of it.
Right, and he says, you know what? I understand my audience. I'm going to get on camera.
He handled it well.
So well that he acted remorseful. And he says, look, I'm a bad boy, and I was wrong.
Bad boy, bad boy.
And, of course, America is very forgiving. They say, oh, you're apologizing, you're admitting your mistake, we'll forgive you. And it worked to his benefit. His ratings went up.
You know, Patrick, you know who
he's
should
been
take,
on fire.
You know who should take a page from David Letterman's book is Tiger Woods. Because Tiger isn't handling it at all, but David Letterman handled it well, and I know it's a different situation, but...
And we will come to that, but you're right, there is some things to be learned.
Yeah.
The difference here, and I'll talk about Tiger Woods in a moment, is Tiger Woods has been engaging in this sort of behavior before he got married for a long time, and there's different kinds of expectations, which we'll come to.
Okay.
Number seven in the top 10 celebrity meltdowns of 2009... Lindsay Lohan and Misha Barton, and I grouped them together for a reason, but you know, I have a very soft spot for Lindsay because she's completely lost. She didn't have the foundation that she needed.
No.
She's been, I think, through rehab about three times. You know, she has a domineering mother, a really selfish and narcissistic father who don't really care about her.
No, she had no parental upbringing, none.
Or not good parental upbringing.
Yeah,
you're saying.
No role models, nothing. Nobody to guide her.
And other than the fact that her career has gone through all sorts of pains, you know, the poor girl can't work out what her sexuality is. She's with Samantha Ronson for a couple of years.
True. Is that even real?
And then she denies, well, look, you know, I'm not really having an affair with her, then breaks up with her, then goes to a boyfriend, then another boyfriend.
But what is she participating in? I mean, there has to be some accountability on Lindsay Lohan's part. I mean, everyone's like, poor Lindsay, poor Lindsay. Well, she, I know that having, okay, the parentals, obviously it's going to screw you up and some of that behavior makes sense. But at some point, she has got to get her act together and make some choices. And if she's going along with the media because she needs to get paid, then I don't completely feel sorry for Lindsay. There's other people that have gotten their stuff together.
I agree with you, but here's why I'm telling you that I feel sorry for her, because she does make the effort, and she's been through rehab a number of times.
How many times? Because I really don't know how many times she's been to rehab.
Three or four.
Mm. Yeah.
Three is a lot. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
that is a lot. Alcohol, drugs.
You know, and if you've been, you know, you've had three visits to rehab in 3 years, the problem is she's going to the wrong rehab.
Well, she's very
lost. Definitely.
I mean, if you just look at her behavior between the guys and the girls, she's obviously lost.
And she needs help.
She does need help.
She's just lost and cannot find her way.
But she has to, if she wants help, then she has to take the responsibility to be helped and not try to live the life and try to get help. You can't do both. It's sort of like, I'm going to quit drinking, but every once in a while I'm going to drink.
Well, that's part of it, and sometimes what really needs to be done is that you have to literally take yourself out of the diseased situation, which
exactly.
happens to be Hollywood, get right out of there, do nothing other than focus on your own well-being. And I want to throw this in. The reason that Britney Spears is back up on top and seems to be much more stable and stabilized is because she healed her relationship with her father. It wasn't thanks to anyone else. It wasn't thanks to any rehab. It wasn't thanks to Dr. Phil's fake, vain attempt to help
her. She's had a complete turnaround, and even though the father came in and they were saying he's controlling, he got her shit together.
And the reason he did that was because most of her problems came from her relationship with her father. Which
I was going to say, yeah.
Which
yeah, and oh, what about
before.
The mother? Her mother isn't exactly. Her mother was prostituting her out at like 12 years old.
Well, that's what happens to a lot of childhood actors and actresses. Mm-hmm. Their parents tend to live vicariously through their children.
Yeah.
More so with the people who are in beauty pageants. You know, the mothers that take their kids to beauty pageants. And as for Misha Barton, she's following very much in the steps of Lindsay Lohan, you know, being arrested for DUI, marijuana possession, to the extent that she was ended up putting up, she was put in involuntary, I'm trying to find the right words, but there's a California law that grants authorities the power to hold a person for up to 72 hours if they present a danger to themselves or to others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened with her. So, you know, both of them are very, very similar, and Misha also seems to have some sort of challenge with her body in terms
mm-hmm.
of she looks very, very frighteningly skinny.
And her eyes always look like she's whacked out. Okay, we're running out of time. Number six?
Kate and John Gosselin.
Oh, God. Okay,
I mean,
number five.
You know
five.
What? You don't even need
to. Mommy, go right to number five.
You can go, okay, number six, Kate and John. Okay, number five.
I'm taking notes, by the way, so we can, where can people see this?
I've just put up on my website, on my blog.
Okay, so patrickwanis.com?
Yeah, and then my blog. Carrie Prejean.
Oh, yes.
And the only reason I'm mentioning her, other than the fact that she, you know, wanted to walk off Larry King, and I don't know why you'd ever want to walk off set off Larry King, because Larry King is the softest interviewer out there, but she sort of says, oh, no, look, I just made a mistake, you know, I'm released, and it's not a sex tape. All it is me masturbating, because there was a video that she and her boyfriend made, but she got her boyfriend to lie and say that it was made 3 years before it was made. She wasn't 17, she was 20 or 21. Then she writes in her book, oh, I believe that the human body is the house of the Lord. It's the temple of the Lord. Yes, but you took your temple of the Lord. You masturbated with it.
Yeah,
then you made a video of it.
She's so, I'm sorry, I can't, she completely annoys me. I feel about Carrie Prejean like you do about John and Kate. I find her so, because she's so full of shit. I'm sorry.
Well, pageant people, I'm sorry. There's a
but
not,
then
not
she
all
tries
of them,
to be something that she's not. It's just so
like
ridiculous.
Everybody else.
Like everybody else that wants to be famous. Like everybody on every
God.
Reality show. They try to be something they're
and
not.
And then she brings
in it for
God
the
into it.
Somebody just
a sad, pathetic
shoot
life.
Shoot me
does
now.
Does this mean you're annoyed with her?
Oh, I know. Listen to us. Do we have an opinion?
Did you see her on Larry King? Larry, you're being inappropriate, Larry.
Larry.
Like, she tried to make it like she's a victim and he's, like, sexually harassing her.
And then even Donald Trump says
she's so manipulating.
That she's wrong.
Ugh.
Number four, this is a classic. You've got to, I don't know if you've heard this, but if you actually heard the audio, Christian Bale on set nuts at Shane Hurlburt, a director of photography. But you have to listen to this.
I don't think I've heard it all.
No, it's very, very funny. I mean, he cusses. The rant goes on for more than 3 minutes.
No, it's terrible.
And then here's the best part. Christian Bale says, he gets on LA radio and says, look, I'm sorry, I want to apologize. I was a real punk, you know, he puts on his English accent. Then he could have just left it there, but the idiot says, oh, well, the problem is I'm a real actor, and I have a problem with this movie star thing. And I'm thinking, what is the concept of being a movie star got anything to do with you actually acting like a prima donna on set?
Right.
What he's trying to say is...
And he does sometimes talk in an English accent, and sometimes he talks in an American accent. I do think he's got a lot of talent, but he's got a temper. There's a lot of deep-seated anger somewhere.
There was also an alleged domestic violence incident involving he, his sister, and his mother in England. So, you're better off coming out and saying, look, I've identified that I have an anger and a rage problem. I'm going to go and do something about it, which is the same thing Mel Gibson should have done and the same thing that Michael Richards should have done. Michael Richards should have come out and said, you know what, I'm a racist and I'm going to do something about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Number three, Kanye West.
Kanye,
taking the microphone, jumping on stage, taking the microphone from an award winner and saying, you know what, you don't deserve it, Beyonce deserves it.
And having Obama, probably his idol, call him a jackass. Yeah.
I mean, that is pretty cool. Okay, the last two really quickly. Number two, Tiger Woods. We don't need to say anything about that. I think that's pretty...
Yeah.
Speaks for itself.
Hey, do you think he'll stop?
I do think he will stop because I think he's going to go and get some help and he's going to look deep.
He'll do the apology tour, yeah.
Well, he needs to apologize, but really his first commitment is to his wife, then to the public and the people that believe in him. The number one top 10 celebrity meltdown of 2009 is Chris Brown, because I don't think there's anything worse than actually assaulting your girlfriend, then trying to deny it, and then attacking Oprah for criticizing you for actually hitting a woman.
His eyes.
Nice list.
Yeah,
that's good.
That's a great list. And Chris Brown, evil. Evil eyes. Scary. His eyes scare me.
And hopefully he'll get help.
Eyes say something.
Mm. Patrick, so people can check this out on your blog?
Yes, and I just want to say one last thing about Chris Brown. The reason that this is such a powerful story is that he has openly expressed his own hatred and resentment for his stepfather who used to beat his mother. So he's copying the pattern of domestic violence.
Right. Well, Patrick, thank you so much, as always, and we'll talk to you in the new year.
Have a great one.
Regular broad, Patrick Wanis. Check him out on our website.